Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Journey into Comics with your hosts, Nate Phillips and Brandon Stone.
I am a god, you dull creature.
Surge and crispy M&Ms. Hey guys, welcome to Journey into Comics podcast. I am one of your illustrious co-hosts, Brando, and I'm here with some of my friends. This show took a lot. This show took a lot to happen, okay?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
I'm not even sure it's happening.
It is. It's finally happening.
Are we sure?
We're positive.
We are positive.
All right. Let's do it.
Okay. So, of course, I'm Brando, and to my left here is my incomparable... my incomparable friend, Mike.
Hello.
Okay, we have been working together for quite some time now. There's almost anything that we can't talk about video gaming wise.
God, we've had so many conversations about video games, it's ridiculous.
I know. So, I mean, you were one of the first people at work that I actually bonded with video game wise.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah, so it's only natural that you be here when we talk about gaming on the podcast. Now, the other fellow that's here is the unflappable. He's the unflappable Nick. And Nick has been with us since, what, September?
September? Yeah. Late September.
Okay, so it is very surprising that you have, since September, already managed in less amount of time to get on the podcast at the same time as Mike has.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of like a cancer. I just spread fast. Yeah.
This is true.
That way, but hey.
I wouldn't say I'm anything good.
I kill people. That's what he just said. I kill people.
I kill people. Slowly.
But surely.
But you spread.
Yes, and that's all that matters.
So brain cancer becomes everything cancer.
Exactly.
Wow. All right. Moving on from the cancer.
All right, so speaking of cancer, this podcast will not be a cancer. We're going to be talking about games. Games, because that's what we talk about at work.
All day.
Very rarely when we work together do we not talk about games.
It's either games... or music.
Or something sci-fi.
Or politics occasionally, which is interesting.
Yeah.
That usually never goes well.
No, not really. No. Not really. I mean, not with this communist, socialist, anarchist.
Yeah. Well, pro-government. I'm pro-government.
Yeah, right? Pro-government. Yeah. Of course.
Borderline.
All right. So, we all have something very in common this year. Okay, we've all been playing one game for about the last month. Exclusively. Now,
yeah.
Nick, you've kind of moved on to a few others here and there, but
yeah,
I mean, and
which is games that we've played, like Grand Theft Auto.
We played that. But Dragon Age Inquisition came out in November, and what's funny about this is that it was something that I was really looking forward to. And I talked to you guys about it. And so, I want to know, where were you guys at before the release of this game? How much were you looking forward to it?
To be honest, I didn't know a whole lot because I'm not a big Dragon Age-y person. I haven't played any of the other ones, so it was kind of...
Yeah, you were coming in fresh.
Yeah, I was coming in fresh, so I didn't know what to expect. But when I watched the gameplay of it on the trailers, I was done. That was okay, this is the exact style of game I play. I'm a big RPG-er.
Yeah.
So it just, right there, it just grabbed a hold of me.
I knew that you would like the gameplay.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, yes, it is a little bit different. I never got to play too much of Dragon Age 2, which they took kind of that gameplay from the battle system, brought it over, and just improved on it. Because the original gameplay was a little bit different, but when I saw the gameplay as well, I'm like,
yeah,
dude, you'll like this. Yeah. But, Nick.
Actually, I don't know if you guys remember, but back then, I wasn't sure what game I wanted to get in November. Mm-hmm. If you remember, I was actually going to get Unity.
Yep.
And yes, you were.
And, well, you guys had talked to me about Dragon Age, and I'm not a big RPG player, and I never really got into fantasy games, with the exception of Skyrim. And I think it was you were telling me, you were selling me on how big the game was going to be.
Oh, yeah, and it was huge.
I was like, yeah, you know, I'm not sure. I wasn't sure on the combat, and I looked at the trailers. But at the end of the day, I just decided to go with it, you know, and try it out. And, yeah, I mean, I'm very glad that you guys talked me into that.
It's... I mean, it speaks for itself when you play it. I mean, at first when you're watching it, it's like, you know, I was kind of on the fence about it. I was, yes, well, you know, the crew's coming out soon, and
right.
No, yeah. And I'm a big car game guy, well, so.
Because in November, there were supposed to be so many games. We were so finally supposed to get all these next-gen games, you know.
Right.
Like a whole year into the console.
I know, because the whole year was just so sparse. There would be like one big title, and a break. Another big title, and a break.
Well, it's like the Batman. The whole Batman fiasco, you know. Oh, it's coming out now. Well, we're going to push it back.
Okay, yeah. Arkham Knight did get pushed back. But, I mean, we're talking about, if you go back further, like, further earlier in the year, you had these games that were coming out that had a lot of hype behind them, like Titanfall and Watch Dogs,
that when
they came out, you know, they were either under par or they just didn't have that lasting effect. And then, for the whole summer, it's like there were two games that got released in the summer that I can think of. And one of them was a remaster, and that was The Last of Us.
Beautiful.
And the other one was Mario Kart 8 on the Wii U. And that just took off over the summer.
Yeah.
When did Infamous come out?
That came out February.
Okay. Yeah, that was the first game, one of the first games I got.
Yeah. So, but I mean, we had a long break, and then we had Destiny, in September.
Which me and you both got hooked on for a while.
We got hooked on for a while. You kept going with it, and I liked the game. But at a certain point, it just became the same fucking thing. Mm-hmm.
I haven't played it since Dragon Age came out. And when I looked up everybody's review on the new DLC, they make you restart the whole thing over, basically. Like, all your weapons, all your armor.
They changed a lot, and that's what I've heard. But, you know, I still have my neighbor. He's been trying to get me back into it. Me and him used to play games all the time since I've gone to night shift. We don't ever play together.
Yeah.
But he's been trying to get me, like, to stay up on weekends and play the new DLC. He's like, oh, I'll walk you through it. I'm like, you know, I don't want to sit there and do the same mission over and over like you do, you know? I can't get into grinding all that much.
Now, getting back into, like, what we're talking about as far as, like, these releases, as you said, all the games sort of, like, were getting bundled into, like, November, like, late October into November you had two Assassin's Creed games that came out. Granted, it was cross-gen. It was, you know, one was the prior gen and the newer one.
Right.
Then you had, you know, your annual Call of Duty, and still, but
yeah.
I mean, as far as being a release, it's still a big release, even though sales are down tremendously.
Yeah.
Hey.
I mean, they got one of us to buy it.
Yeah, right. So, but going into this, okay, because I really wanted to get the GTA PS4 remaster, simply because I've been kind of wanting to replay GTA. It was kind of the same thing with The Last of Us. Right around the time I was wanting to replay it, about a month later, the remaster was coming out.
Yeah.
So I started hyping myself up. I'm playing GTA. And the Dragon Age was also coming out. And I said, I'm going to save Dragon Age for my winter break. And that didn't happen.
No.
No. In fact, I'm kind of glad I didn't, because I'm still playing Dragon Age.
Still haven't beat it.
I still haven't beat it. I'm over 105 hours in. I'm near the end. I'm finally at the point where I can say, by Monday, by the time we go back to work, I should have it beaten.
Yeah, you're close. You're real close.
You're right there, yeah.
But, I mean, just think about this, okay? You had all these games that came out throughout the year, and how many of those were enough quality to keep you playing them for a month straight? Not just because there weren't any other games out, because obviously, you know, The Crew has come out, Far Cry has come out, the GTA remasters come out. For those that have Xboxes, the Master Chief Collection came out, that's another topic. But, I mean, and Sunset Overdrive came out, another big one that came out for that system.
That had way, so much hype behind it, and I hear it's...
Yeah.
I hear it's good.
I hear that...
I don't think it's lasting.
I've heard that if you like some of the old Sega games for the Dreamcast, you'll love it.
Hmm.
Because it's got a lot of that mixture of, like, Tony Hawk and Jet Grind Radio with a little bit of Infamous thrown in.
I can
see
that.
I've heard it's fun to play, but it's not necessarily something that's going to be, like, mind-blowing.
Right.
Right.
So, I mean, from that aspect, you know, for me, I might check it out when it gets cheap, but I'm not going to go out and, you know, blow $60 on it. Well, because it's funny, because I bought both GTA and Dragon Age on the same night.
That's right.
And I still really haven't touched GTA that much. And I've got so many games backlogged. Now it's, by the time I get done with Dragon Age, we're now going into the next year, well into it now, a couple days.
When they do officially release, hey, we're putting a heist on PS4 and, or on the.
It's supposed to be within a month or so.
Grand Theft Auto.
People online have been telling
that's
me.
Really? I'm probably gonna go right back to it.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah. I mean, I really enjoyed the online. Yeah. For. Oh well, we were waiting for that for so long.
Yeah, we kept playing and kept playing and kept playing. This is like, you know, they're like, oh yeah, we're gonna do the heist. Yeah, we're gonna do the heist.
How much you want to bet that they wanted to do it, but then they were like, we should just wait.
Yeah.
And put it on the next gen.
It's because they actually avoided that question for a long time. Is this coming to next gen? And they were like, well, you know, it's probably not going to be in our near future.
Right. I remember thinking, I was like, they've got to bring this over.
That's another thing that happened a lot for the past year. Were so many ports, so many remasters.
I think that they did a lot of that because of the lack of all the titles getting pushed back. Because apparently they're having issues. It's the only way I can think of it is.
So I think this actually started last gen though, because think of how all the HD collections that came out, and I was so excited when it first started happening, because the first one that I got excited about was Shadow of the Colossus.
In the Eco, yeah.
And that was awesome. And then I was like, okay, you know, this is one of my favorite games. I get to play it again. And then Metal Gear came out, and I was like, oh my god, this is my favorite game, and it's coming out again, you know?
For anybody that wonders, we are snacking on crispy M&Ms, because fuck yeah, they brought them back. And I'm drinking my very last Surge that I ordered from Amazon. So, Nick, I'm sorry for throwing you off by sneakily trying to give you a crispy M&M.
I like that we were going about it so quietly, and then we all just busted out laughing. But, I think it started before. I honestly, at first I thought it was this cool thing they're doing. Now I'm starting to think it's laziness.
Here's my theory, okay? You had the HD ports, or the... I don't want to call them remakes or up-reses.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, basically.
Okay. There was only a few that I would actually consider a remake, because you get into touchy boundaries when you start talking about remakes, re-releases, ports. Now, my theory about why they did it for this next gen, for it's not even next gen, it's current gen.
Yeah.
PS4, Xbox One. The reason why they were doing it, trying to make some more money off all the money they spent on development.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, okay, other than we had a couple of really big ones, which the two biggest ones, in my opinion, The Last of Us and Grand Theft Auto.
Yep.
But then you had some of the other ones. You had Tomb Raider.
Yeah, you had, I forgot about that.
Which looks beautiful.
Yeah, oh, it does. Sleeping Dogs. Those games were heralded at that time for kind of like going under the radar. Yeah. Now, Tomb Raider got a lot more than Sleeping Dogs. Which, they are good games. They are good games. But they got overlooked. Now, with Sleeping Dogs, I could see them putting that back out with sleeker graphics and saying, hey, you like Grand Theft Auto 5? Remember, we put this out, and it's a decent game, pretty good. And then with Tomb Raider, they were like, I think that was a lot of it. It undersold for what they wanted it to.
Right.
So they're trying to recoup some money. And now... they just announced one for the DMC for Devil May Cry.
See, this is what I'm getting at is I loved it when it was like these legendary almost games. Mm-hmm. Shadow of the Colossus and Metal Gear, amazing.
Well, you had an actual up-resing. It wasn't just making it look prettier, it was a...
And it had been a long time, think about it. Those were PS2 games, they just came towards the end of the PS3 cycle, or... Well, in the middle of it, right?
Well, I would say towards the latter third was when they first started doing them. But
so time had passed before anybody had played them.
Of course, because now you're bringing them up to HD.
Yeah.
And now we're already at HD when they're doing the remasters.
Right.
Now, granted, before we go any further, each game that I've seen a remaster of looks fantastic.
No, they are better. But I feel like, and this is my opinion, is it's like, I like it when it's just a legendary game, you know, it's... Shadow of the Colossus, Metal Gear, Last of Us, GTA, those games deserve.
Well, the thing that I like about GTA is they didn't just up-res it. They added a whole new element to it. So
first person,
yeah. You can say that's a... That's not a remaster. That's a...
It's not per se a remake, but
yeah,
it's,
yeah. They added something to it.
It's
not
bonus
like
features. It's your.
They didn't just say.
Well,
oh,
then
here's the game
they also out. Changed. They also upgraded the weather physics.
Yeah.
They added in supposedly more traffic or anything like that. They also added in little small wildlife with dogs and cats.
Yes.
Just to fill out the world, because when you're walking around in first person, and you see this big blank world.
Yeah.
Putting in little things of substance will make it feel a lot more full. Now, there's also one thing I noticed when I was playing that. I was walking along and I see like this banner up on a building. Like one of those things that kind of flaps in the wind.
Right.
And it was like, I'm like, I've never noticed that.
Huh.
Maybe it was there, but I'm walking around in first person going, it just looks so detailed. It's tremendous.
It looks a lot better. That one looks tremendously better, and I'm glad they did that one, and I'm glad they did The Last of Us. DMC, do they really?
There's another rumor of one that I don't know if they've announced, but Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah,
I'm all over that one. If they do Red Dead Redemption, I'll buy it day one.
I've also heard Skyrim.
I've heard Skyrim as well.
I'll do Skyrim as well.
Big one that they
and it's funny because in a way we're kind of bitching about it.
We are.
But we're excited for it.
But again, I mean, Red Dead and Skyrim fit in with the other list of games. Those are fantastic, amazing games. I think both of those two games were the best games of the year when they came out for their respective years.
I agree. And Skyrim's still a very...
It's still on the top 10 on GameFAQs for being popular.
It's still one of the best games that they've released.
Yeah.
There's so much to do. I mean, you can't.
There is.
It fills it out.
Let's just do a quick comparison. Skyrim or Dragon Age?
That's hard.
It's hard. Because I put...
Multiple hours.
Hundreds of hours into both.
I think it's going to be subjective.
It is.
It's going to be hard for someone to pick it over Skyrim. Because Skyrim feels it will. I mean, they're two different beasts. Skyrim is more of an open and like discovery type based, and Dragon Age is a more. It has a lot of space and a lot of room to explore it. It's a huge game,
right.
But it's more.
Well, it's not in your regions. You can't just walk from one end to the other.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna go Dragon Age.
You know what? I will too. Because if there's one thing that BioWare does better than anyone else in this field. And that is create not only a great story, but something they do even better than that. Because, you know, they can do some faults on some stories, maybe not tell the best story. Characterization.
Yes.
Holy shit, can they make characters?
The biggest and the only reason why I'd go with Dragon Age is the fact it's a party element, and it doesn't feel like you're just playing. You actually feel like you're in the party because they start bickering at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, like, you put, like, that. The biggest thing for me, like I was telling you guys both about, is put Cassandra and Iron Bull in your party. Because they'll start talking, and you can raise your Iron Bull thing if you play as Cassandra, and you do her shield bash, and he'll do whirlwind, and he'll flip him.
Yeah.
Because that's their big conversation is, Cassandra, do you want to flip somebody? Like, have you ever wanted to flip a guy? Because I really want to flip a guy. It's like, that's something that, you know, someone would talk about.
You get
about.
The same thing in a way with, which I was hearing, because I've been playing a lot with Iron Bull, which I played through most of the game without Iron Bull. Because I was using Blackwall.
I mean,
I'm a warrior. I was a warrior, and I was using Blackwall. And so we had our thing. Now, the one mage that I've been using the whole game, because I have him set up the way I want, is Solas. You get Iron Bull and Solas in a group?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
They argue.
Wait, yeah, I have.
Yeah,
they argue, and they argue a lot.
They argue about, like,
the Kuhn.
The Kuhn.
And then... Okay, so, obviously we can't talk about the ending of Dragon Age, because one of us hasn't been there yet, but there's something I can talk about. So, spoiler alert! Okay, screw it, I'm talking about it. When you finish Iron Bull's personal quest.
Okay,
you guys have both done that.
Yes.
Okay, where you go to the Storm Coast, right?
Yep.
Okay, so what choice did you guys make?
I saved his crew.
Did you save his crew?
Yeah, I did.
I'm pretty sure I saved his crew.
I did too. So we all made the same choice. now. So that means he gets exiled or whatever from
Talvashoth. Yeah, Talvashoth. He is no longer a part of the Kune.
Yeah.
Now, Solas gives him shit about that.
Really?
A little bit. Like, he's actually in favor of that, but he was talking to him, and now, hold on. Did you bring Solas to that mission?
No.
I had Solas.
I did.
First place, and there, I
had
him throughout
all the time. Solas, there, while you're doing that, he's saying something while you guys are fighting, and Solas is, like, trying to make his point made, something about Iron Bull, because Solas is very picky about the Kune and controlling people.
Right.
Iron Bull says, "Not the time, Solas." Shuts him down. Now, later on, as you, if you guys have seen, Iron Bull's personality changes just a little bit. He's more, I guess, relaxed.
Yeah, much more relaxed.
Solas starts being friendly with him.
Huh.
Yeah, because they were talking about, like, doing stuff together and, like, wanting him to...
They started playing chess together in mine.
Really? I didn't get that.
They were saying, pawn to... I don't know a damn thing about chess. So, whatever, pawn to, you know, whatever the space is.
R22.
And Iron Bull's like, really, Solas? Because it's kind of hard to play without a board or something like that. And Solas says, oh, really? So you don't really have the mental capacity to think about that? Talvashoth or whatever? He goes... So Iron Bull starts playing chess with him. He fires back, and then Solas fires back another move, and then Iron Bull fires back with another move.
Wow!
I'm like, and they're just, as you're walking around doing your thing, playing chess in their head.
That's what made that game amazing. I never used a mount because if you're on the mount, they don't talk.
Exactly.
And so I was like, I will take the walk. I will walk 20 fucking miles if that's what I got to do to hear this conversation.
Like Sarah. And Solas.
Oh, party. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're funny. They talk Elvish.
They're funny.
It just, this small, like, that's very minute and small. And when you really think about it, but then when you really think about it, it makes the game.
It's a very comfortable zone.
You know, like,
I mentioned this in my YouTube video that I shot. There's just so much characterization.
Yeah.
When they sat down to write this game, they made sure to flesh out those characters.
Absolutely.
And make them feel like real people. And so when they started putting in these small details that just come up randomly if you're using them, because I'll be honest with you, I've used Vivienne the least.
Same here.
Out of all my party members.
I don't think she's ever been in my
party. I used her for just a little bit. And so I kind of feel bad because I kind of feel like there's so many other... Like Dorian. I haven't used Dorian in a long time. And yet I became... I really liked his background and story. And... It just since then it's been like, oh, peace, dude.
Yeah.
Solas is my homie because Firestorm.
You know,
for now.
I think my one complaint about that game is that your party was only limited to taking three of those guys.
I know, yeah.
I wanted to take them all. I would have had a whole army running behind me if I could have, just because I liked every character the whole way through. Even the one that I disagreed with, they were so deep and they felt so personal that I liked them.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the thing with the ending of the game is like, the individual that will not be named, like, you know, you grow with him and you don't really like him, or you may like him, it's personal opinion, but at the end of it you're like, really?
At some point me and you're going to have an open discussion when you beat
this. I want to have it because it's funny, because I know who you're talking about, and me and you have had two different sorts of relationships with that character.
Yep.
Because I guarantee you I'm at a different level with him, and it's funny because me and him have disagreed with the whole Cole situation.
Yeah.
Because both him and Varric, we just sort of give it away, they're both involved with that.
Yes.
And I disagree with them. But then, I liked it because he doesn't like that move. He doesn't like that move at all. But then he sort of like refers to your judgment in a way. You know, let's hope this works out.
Yeah.
You know, and even though he was against it, and he's very, they did such a good job of making Solas such a good character who's rooted deep in his beliefs.
Yeah.
And who doesn't waver. When you talk to him, it's like you're having a constant debate when it comes to that.
Yeah.
He doesn't really like waver too much.
No.
And I for one really enjoyed that, because then you can also talk with some other characters and maybe, you know, get them to see things your way or whatever. But there's a couple of them that just... they're really fun to interact with.
How about your guys' development with Sarah?
Oh, dude, I almost lost her.
She, because like when she, you first get her, obviously you can't hardly understand her, and she steals people's britches for no reason, you know, instead of the weapons. But as you go through, you notice she calms down.
She does a little bit. Now, I always liked Sarah. You guys know that I like to joke around. I like to prank people mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So I kind of related to this character because it's a lot like I am, or she, not it. But you know,
whoa.
Yeah. But I think
leaving that alone.
When you really get into it with her and you go through, I really like the side quest where you go and you do the pranks and all that with her. It shows another side. We can't keep this shit together, damn it.
I wish we had a camera on.
I know.
Oh, man. Okay.
Anyways.
So. Yeah.
So, but... No, I really like the character. I do. She's fun. She's all kinds of pranks, and I think the game needs that levity, and I think that the whole party needed that. I mean, Iron Bull is a funny character as well. But, you know, she kind of... I feel like when times were dark in my game, Sarah was there to kind of bring the humor up and
yeah, I mean, you could, yeah, she's probably the most lighthearted character.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's a few other ones. Varric, I'd put them in there because I like hearing him, and he has a little nickname for everybody. Now, there was something that I really enjoyed, and then this will be the last thing that we talk about with Dragon Age because we can't talk about the ending. The card game.
Though.
Okay, yeah, we'll talk about the multiplayer. The card game. Did you play the card game?
There's a card game. Oh, yes. I know what you're talking about. With Barrick, when you get to use... That was brilliant. That was one of my favorite parts of the whole game. I didn't know if you had gotten there yet, and that's mm-hmm. I wanted to tell you about it one day. And
you didn't play the card game, did you?
I probably did.
Well, I mean, you don't actually play cards, but
right.
It's the whole group sitting around a table playing cards and talking.
So they're playing poker, essentially.
Yeah, it's their own version of it, yeah. And
that's probably because my first playthrough, I kind of blazed through it.
Yeah, you did.
To beat it.
Yeah, you beat it very fast.
60 yes. hours is, I mean, I've heard everybody else is like, it took me 90. Well, it took me 60, but I also, that was first playthrough. Now the second playthrough I've gone through and done Black Walls. I did Cassandra's originally. I did Iron Bulls. Sarah's is home working on now since I'm romancing her as a female.
What do you think of Black Walls?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get into. That's
I'm
my
not
favorite.
100% done with it. I'm
okay, never mind.
Okay, yeah, never mind. It is my favorite by far.
I liked
it. I've been focusing a lot on the multiplayer, and
that's one. Okay, and I played it probably the least out of all of us, but every time that I would play multiplayer, I felt like I was taking away from how soon I can get done with the main story. Because if I play multiplayer, it's almost like an all night ordeal.
Yeah, when we get on and we start having a good time, we really don't get off until it's time to go to bed.
Because it's almost you still have that essential part of you're playing in a party with these people you know, not like in the game. Like you still have the party element in the game, but now you've got people you know, and we get our own little inside jokes. And
yeah, we have a blast every time, and it does. It consumes a lot of time, and I think me and you both really took a lot of time off of multiplayer, and I didn't really get back on until I beat it.
And see, because you said that you had beaten it like the day before the last time we played online. It was sometime earlier on during the week. I think it was maybe...
It was right after Christmas. I beat it.
Because like we played on New Year's.
Right after, and so it was right before New Year's that I had beaten it.
Okay, yeah, because...
Because I remember talking to you.
It was like a few weeks ago. Somebody asked me if I wanted to play, and I really didn't want to play. Because I'm like...
That might have been me.
I think it could have been you. But it wasn't that I didn't want to play with my friends. It was, I want to play more of the story.
I'm pretty sure it was me because you told me, I kind of would like to play the story, not multiplayer, because it was me and Rob was on.
That night, okay, I had just got my little charge base for my controllers because I now have two controllers. And, you know, if we want to play, me and my wife want to play a game together, both controllers need to be charged, not me playing one until it's dead, plugging it in so I can play the other one.
Right.
So we bought a $20 charge base. And I'm messing with it, and as soon as it logged me in, I'm messing with the controller. I guess I turned the controller on, accidentally joined their party. And the first thing I hear with Mike going, "Oh, Brandon's on."
Yeah.
And I'm like, I was going to play story tonight. And so I'm like, I backed out and went, because I didn't even, my headset was dead. I couldn't even talk. I'm like, as I sent Rob a text or a message saying, hey, sorry guys,
yeah,
I'm not playing tonight, because in Dragon Age, and again, we've talked about this almost for a half hour.
Yeah.
Tangent, we've gone on several tangents as well. But again, the game is just so massive as far as the little things.
Yes.
The little things, as far as your exploration and then your completion of side quests for each area.
Oh, yeah.
Now, okay, as you said, you blazed through on your first one, so you missed a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So you're going through a second playthrough. I wanted to go through a second playthrough, but I honestly feel like I need to go play some other games, because I've spent over 100 hours on this one awesome playthrough.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be a while, so I'm dedicating it right here and now. I will not play Dragon Age Inquisition again until I've completed Dragon Age 2.
I need to go through and do the other two.
I've actually never played the other
two. See, and it's awesome, because there's been several times in this game that I have confused my Inquisitor with the hero for Elden. That's your main character from the first game. And I feel like, oh yeah, I know, yeah, don't remember, we, oh. I'm not him. Yeah. And it's funny, because some of the decisions I was making was like, oh, this is just his extended story. Right. I had to keep reminding myself, this is a new guy.
Yeah.
A separate guy. But
what did they bring in from the second one? They bring Hawk in.
Yeah, and he's like the main character.
Yeah.
And then from the first one, they bring in Morrigan.
Yeah.
Which, it is so funny, because in every single aspect of her, she's has kind of this, I'm helping, but...
Am I really? Yeah.
I'm getting what I want out of it.
Yep.
And I could have shut her down tonight, but like in the first game, I felt like it was more interesting if I gave it to her and she just kind of continues on getting what she wants.
Yes.
Because I want to see how that develops into the next game.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Because it just, I don't know, and I'm kind of going off on a limb here, kind of sets her up for a more villainous role.
Yeah, I wonder if she's going to become villainous or if she's going to become good. I mean, you know.
Yeah, yes, of course. But
it leaves it open at the end.
It leaves it open at the end, but the biggest thing is are they going to make a Dragon Age Inquisition 2?
I can guarantee you they're going to make another Dragon Age.
Well, yeah, they're going to make another Dragon Age, but are they going to be a continuation off of Inquisition?
I don't think so. It doesn't follow the pattern.
We'll see, because, yeah, each game has been its own separate thing,
yeah.
But it's been in a congruent storyline. Because I don't know how many years has taken place in between the first one and Inquisition, but obviously Dragon Age 2 took place in between it.
Right.
Right.
So.
And obviously Dragon Age 2 was pretty...
It was before Inquisition, but not like...
Immediate.
Yeah, well, not immediate, not too distant as well. Right. Yeah. So. I think we've talked about Dragon Age as much as we could probably talk about it.
The only thing that I have to hit up is the multiplayer.
Okay, yeah, so you're right, yes.
The biggest thing is I've obviously logged the most hours out of the three of us.
Because another one of our friends, he's logged in way more hours than any of us.
God, he's got me beat.
Oh, Silent Rob.
Yeah.
Who's here on the podcast tonight, but you wouldn't know it.
Yeah. We've been playing, and they've had a lot of issues with this new patch. You can't get keys to drop. And another thing that me and Rob noticed today was you got a ring for an ability that does not exist.
So, I just want to ask one thing, because obviously Nick and myself have not played the multiplayer, I guess, enough to really compare the two. The game was pretty stable before the patch, or before the DLC.
Oh yeah, very stable. No, we never had
no
problems.
Had no issues.
You got the only thing that everybody has their complaints about it, but like you don't get enough accessories. Like I just now got a necklace. I'm level 200 Inquisition, so you know, like
I mean, the thing is
what it is. I mean,
it's
still fun.
Their history with their multiplayer for BioWare. Which, I guess, the one that's not massively online is the only other one's Mass Effect 3. You know, they kept that community going for well over a year.
Yeah.
It was about at the year release, like anniversary, that's when they said, okay, we are officially done updating. And, you know, we're not weekly weekend events. You know, we're finally moving on. And then the community still stayed active for another 6 months after that.
Yeah, very active.
And then it slowed down.
But I'm thinking with this Inquisition right now, they're doing every weekend, they have a new
event.
Challenge.
Right. So,
event or whatever.
Yeah, so you could think that they're probably going to do the same thing. We're probably going to see more DLC packs. They don't have to worry about as many main game patches.
Right.
As far as glitches or stuff like that, there are there, but not as bad as some other games.
No.
Yeah, nothing's as bad as that one.
Which, of course, this has been becoming a growing problem within the industry. With the advent of internet-capable machines, you can release a game that's not even complete yet,
yeah,
or seems like it still needs a few touch-ups, and go, we'll get it later. Or every single game that I've played in the last while, it gets a day one patch.
Yeah, exactly. It's the day one patch. They want to get that game out the door, so they go ahead and they send it off and they start, you know, printing it on the disc, and then they're like, okay, now we can finish up development.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's amazing. And I actually was reading about this, and one thing I found interesting is a lot of places, you know, in more rural areas, they have data limits on their internet.
Yeah.
And these patches are so big, some of them, that they use up all their internet just so they can patch their game, just so they can play the offline mode.
Dude, it's
ridiculous.
I'm trying to remember the exact number for the Master Chief Collection. It was a massive patch. Like,
yeah, it was gigs.
I think it was
20 gigs.
Yeah.
20 gigs.
That's a fucking game.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shit. I mean, it's insane.
And that's even crazier because look at that game. Okay, what is, like, okay, you have the Halos, their main campaigns. Oh, everybody! I'm sure everybody goes out and buys them for the campaigns.
Right.
Yeah.
No. You've got the majority of those people want to go back and relive those multiplayer maps, have all the multiplayer maps available on one game, right? There's over 100 maps.
The first two, the Halo 1 and Halo 2, were phenomenal in the multiplayer.
I mean, but I mean, you have the people who've been following the series for this long, and they release them all on one system, doing another, hey, HD remaster.
Yeah.
Hey, there you go, and we actually missed that when we were talking about those. But it seems like a great idea. All these older games, the multiplayers were all fantastic.
Right.
Put them in, but that's the aspect that doesn't work, yeah, even after a 20 gig patch.
And it's amazing because it took so long for it to start working.
It boggles the mind. Now, see, here's the funny thing about this. Before we started recording the podcast,
yeah,
I have a thought that I'm going to say for the podcast. So they had so much trouble with the Halo Master Chief Collection multiplayer getting it to work. Yeah. The Halo 5 beta works flawlessly. That, from what I'm hearing, there people are like, oh man, I can actually get a match.
No, so how can you fix that? How does that work flawlessly?
I don't know. I don't know if it was just a problem of integrating all these different games,
right,
for like the servers, because there's so, like, I don't know if there was a problem with the servers, because that was the main issue, was finding matches. Like, the multiplayer worked when you could get a match. Right. It's not like you couldn't get it to load, or it was too glitched or anything. It was matchmaking. So it was obviously an overload on the servers. But then when you have, it's just a funny dichotomy, because you have that, it's like, and then you have the beta. It's not even out yet. It comes out next November. It's like, we work. And part of that, I think, is because it's a brand new code. Whereas the other ones, they redid, Halo 2 for the 10-year anniversary, completely remade it.
Yeah.
But then all the other ones were like, let's up-res them, and then pack him in there.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's like, you're taking a game that was never intended to be online, and then putting it online, but you don't have separate servers. Like, you don't have a Halo 1 server, so whenever you get on Halo, you only have the server for Halo. They try to mesh it all together.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's a problem. It's like, if you're on Halo 1 and I'm on Halo 2, we would be bumping.
That's a very valid point, actually. You've got three games going using up one server.
Yep.
Now,
I think that was the main issue.
Now, they did offer some compensation, I do believe. And again, since we're recording this now, it's been weeks since I've seen this. So I do apologize if I'm actually getting this completely wrong, but I wanted to say they were adding in the ODST campaign for a download.
You know, I think I saw that.
For people like, hey guys, we're sorry. Yeah, we'll give you this as a free add-on.
Yeah.
For that, but
with all these broken games, these companies are having to, you know, like, oh hey, you know, we'll throw this in since we didn't have it right at the start. It's like, when are they just going to realize? Is it really saving them money to rush these games out and do the patch? Or?
Well, it's making their company look like crap.
Well, look at look at AC Unity. The people who bought the season pass, they all got free games.
Yeah.
They got to choose between, it was like The Crew and
Far Cry.
They could actually choose those. And it was download, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a good compensation, but...
It is, but look at how much that... Look at the release of that game. And we live in an age now where you don't need reviewers to tell you, like really big reviewers like IGN or Kotaku or, you know, GameSpot or anywhere else to tell you, you know, hey, this game is this game is that. All you gotta do is log into YouTube and see old Joe Schmo over there and him going, look at this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to buy Unity. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to buy Unity over Dragon Age, and I actually didn't because I found out about the embargo for the review. And that worried me because it was like, why would you not have the review out until noon?
After they released. 12 hours. There was a 12-hour window where the game was on sale where the review didn't even go up.
So they knew. They knew it was broken. They still, I mean... And I don't feel like you could do this with any other industry. I mean, the automotive industry, do you think that we could, like, bring cars back through the factory and be like, well,
right.
We knew going out that this thing wasn't right, but we're going to fix it now.
We'll release a downloadable patch. Yeah. You got to put a thumb drive in.
You got to put a thumb drive in your car and we'll fix it all.
See, it's the only industry. Yeah. It's like, and it is because of the internet thing.
Movies, you know? Movies can't do that.
That'd be brilliant if they could.
Well, I mean, they almost could with the internet connectivity with Blu-ray players. But, like, you release a movie that you have multiple copies that aren't working right, then they have a recall on them. You go, I received a bad movie. It's not like you could just put it in and download a patch.
Right.
Right.
I mean, nowadays, you probably could, but then it would be relative to your player. So then if you ever got a different player, you'd have to re-download the patch. You know?
Yeah.
But so it doesn't work exactly the same way. But
gaming is... It's getting worse.
And it really started to really kind of, like, get bad. Like the last few, like the last half of the last generation.
Yeah.
Because I'm the retro gamer out of all of us. I have a room full of retro games. I go in there and I plug in Super Mario Brothers 3 on my NES. That's a complete game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, are there glitches in that? Yeah, there's some glitches.
Not nearly as much as
that. Are they game breaking? No. And guess what? If they're game breaking, reset.
Yeah.
Granted, games are bigger, larger nowadays, but we are out of the era where you can release a finished game.
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually been going on for a while now that you said that, because if you remember Skyrim,
yeah,
Skyrim had all kinds of problems at
launch.
On
PS3.
On PS3.
It actually had, it did have some issues, but they patched the Xbox one first.
Because
the PS3 one, the game save file would get so big, it would run so low.
Right.
Because I remember Rob had a lot of issues with that.
Right.
I'm glad they fixed that.
I mean,
I played on Xbox first.
But, I mean, this has been going on for a while, but it's just, like, we just continue to allow it. We accept it. I feel like, as consumers, we just let them do this to us just to the point where they're like, oh, well, they don't care.
It's the same thing with DLC.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, we can release some of the stupid shit, like releasing on-disc DLC. It's like, it's already on the disc.
Yeah.
It's actually you download this bit that just unlocks it.
Yeah.
Or you have to buy this key to get it. It's like, no.
The game will come with a code, and then you put the code in to unlock it.
And it's like a, you know, 200 kilobyte download. You're like, come on, that's not enough.
Well, I mean, they do it for the resale thing. I understand that. You know, they're trying to get you.
Yeah,
to buy the
and
new
of course,
copy.
Yeah, that's when that thing started with all the online codes.
Yeah.
And then if you bought, like, just an example, Call of Duty used, you'd have to pay a $10 fee.
Right.
And I'm glad that that's phased out for the most part. There are some games that still release.
There is, and they still they do it. They'll do like, oh well, you get a new gun.
Yeah,
you know, it's not something that you can't play the game without. Right, like something you
yeah.
want.
But like the big titles, like your Call of Duties and your Battlefields or something like that, or like all EA, they quit it entirely. Because I remember when Mass Effect 2 came out, Mass Effect 2 didn't even have multiplayer and it had an online code.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is this shit?
Why do you have an online code for a game that's not meant to be online?
Yeah, and the only thing that you got with it is extra stuff. Like it was extra in-game stuff. But then on Mass Effect 3, they had multiplayer. Now, with these games, once they like said, okay, you don't need that anymore, they actually made those codes on the store free for download. So when you buy those games used, all you gotta do is go on that game's page and it'll say online pass and it's free.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that we're seeing that go away, but with all these fucking broken games, it boggles my mind that we live in this era now. And it makes me worry. It makes me worry about all these games coming out next year, because when you think about, like for example, we said Batman got delayed.
Yeah.
Okay, we have Batman got delayed. Watch Dogs got delayed.
Oh, yeah.
And look how that got released. It's not that the fact that it was broken. It was just, under expectations.
Right.
It was under what... It didn't look like the game that we saw back at E3 no. or anything like that. So when they announced that Batman's getting delayed, I said, take your time. I love that series. I want to see the end of it.
Right.
And I know you guys can make a good game, and I want you to do it right. All the gameplay stuff has looked amazing. So that well, then again, the Watch Dogs stuff was gameplay.
Yeah, they were showing gameplay, and I don't know if it was because, if you think about it, what we had to compare it to at the time of that release trailer or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever it was, announcement trailer, that's when we were still at last gen, and so we were looking at our old graphics, and we were seeing this on a PS4, and we're like, oh, this is beautiful, And then by the time it actually came out, we had been playing our current gen, our PS4s, for long enough that wasn't really on par with, or well, it was just okay with what was out,
Yeah, right? We'll see. And then they released it on PC, and the PC players, who are known to go in and make the best out of their games, they found the original code, and they hacked it to where you can play that game and make it look like it was originally looked.
Really?
And those, yes.
So it's been rezzed down.
Yeah, they rezzed it down.
So they must have had to do that to make it run
console,
better?
Well, I'm thinking make it run better. Well, see, even then, it runs fine on the PCs. I'm thinking, and I'm banking on this. They had to do it because they wanted parity. They wanted to put it on the previous gen consoles and the new ones.
Yeah.
And they had to save time and money. So they said, let's bring it back down. It'll run here. It'll run here. And then the PC one can run this, but then we'll just bring it back down here because it's right. cheaper. Now, what makes me worry about that is that you had a lot of games get pushed back. The Order, Batman. The games are supposed to be coming out next year. A big list of games. I mean, I was going through the list with my buddy today, and I was having problems thinking of them all. I had to remember them. Because there's just, across the three major systems that are out, and of course, small PC, I'm not a big PC gamer, there's just so many.
Yeah. See, I'm still, to this day, I'm more looking forward to the Wii U games coming out than I am for the PS4 and the Xbox One. Because they got a new Zelda coming out. Anybody that's played RPGs, they love Zelda, except for that guy. But, new Zelda, new Star Fox. I mean, that's exciting for us has been big Nintendo fans mm-hmm. for a long time. Like, finally, a new Star Fox.
I am really, yeah.
Finally.
I'm really looking forward to Batman Arkham Knight. I'm really looking forward to MGS 5. And Uncharted 4.
Beautiful.
And even though it's not coming out on PS4 next year, Tomb Raider. I'm looking forward to Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
I still think that's a limited.
I think it is too.
I don't think, there's no way that they're going to do that. I mean, don't say it.
Neither here or there. But, okay. Here's something that I want to talk about, and then we can move on to another topic. There's already rumors. Now, someone has confirmed it at Nintendo. AMD has speculated, said something that if you think about it, could lead you to thinking that in 2016, the next generation Nintendo console is coming out.
So they have announced that it could be 16, or that
okay,
it
Miyamoto.
Is.
Miyamoto. Miyamoto has said they are working on the new Nintendo console.
Right.
That's all he said. But every company's, at some extent, right. looking yeah. forward. But he has said we are currently looking and working on the next Nintendo console.
Well, here's the big question that me and you have discussed before. They're going to wait until their shareholders of the Wii U have got what they
you're
are
right.
okay with.
And see, I kind of feel like that they are trying their best for the next 2 years to give them quality titles. Because if you think about it, since they don't have the third party, you have to put out games right. that kick ass. And thankfully, for this year... I mean, granted, all the big games, they've been a couple months in between, you know, Mario Kart, or actually Donkey Kong, Mario Kart, Hyrule Warriors, and then Super Smash Brothers. So they spread them out, and they're good quality titles. Some of them are even considered great.
Here's the biggest concern for me in this is Nintendo needs to start putting these out when their new systems hit, not waiting
two and three years
to put it out.
Okay, so now see the other part of that. AMD and I'm gonna just paraphrase the hell out of this because I can't remember exactly what was said. He said that they are developing a new something.
Something, yeah.
A new something. AMD I'm paraphrasing because I'm going off of a video that I saw on YouTube, and he read the article that was reporting on AMD's conference call for their. Quarterly earnings.
Right.
So, they were saying that they're working on something for a customer, but it's going to hit the console market in 2016. So think about it like this. You have Nintendo saying, we're working on a new console. They're not shying away from that fact.
Right.
They're saying, we are working on a brand new console. Now you have AMD, which already has chips in PS4 and Xbox One, saying they're working on two new things. One's going to the gaming console market beginning 2016. He flat out said that. So could it be a slim model of one of those systems from the Xbox One or PS4? Could it be the new Wii U? Or not the Wii U, the new Nintendo system. Now, if that were to happen, the Wii U life cycle would be about 4 years. Typically, traditionally, they're about 5 years. Now, the last console generation was a lot longer, almost 8 years, because of our economic crash.
Well, you can also look at Nintendo and see they're still on for the same cycle that they were back.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
Because in 06, the Wii launched, and then 2012, the Wii U launched. Okay. So that went a little bit longer, which I said, and I still stand by this, they should have released the Wii U in 09. It would have been relevant.
It should have released earlier. When's the next big game show?
Honestly, I'm not sure.
Because I know E3 is in the summer, correct?
E3 is in June.
June.
Okay, yeah.
Well, okay, there's a... What's that place called? Is it the... There's a big electronic show in January.
CES.
But it's not typically a groundbreaking, let's show our games. So...
Well, no. Okay, when they announced the PS4, that was in the winter. What show was that at?
That was at a private PlayStation show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they did their announcement, and then Xbox did their announcement, and then they had E3. The weird thing about that is, they announced it, and then released that console, both of them. They both released their consoles in the same year.
That's true.
Typically, and like historically, they've had over a year of saying, new system,
right.
look, because you had the boomerang controller for the PS3, you had all this stuff. Now see, there's another big console that only had a 4-year life cycle. So this shit can be done with the new Nintendo thing. People saying, well, it's short. The Xbox had a 4-year life cycle from 01 to 2005.
Yeah.
And then the 360 launched.
That's still a fantastic system.
It is.
Fantastic.
So now there's another big rumor that kind of goes along with this, okay? Again, rumor. The next big Mario title will be next-gen Nintendo. So, as of right now, in 2015, the launch would be in 2016. So you have this year of a brand new Zelda, new Star Fox. There's a new Metroid coming out.
What?
Well, yeah, you know, I told you.
No, they've said
they are working on two new Metroids, one for the 3DS, yeah, which is the classic 2D style, and then a more of a Prime style for the Wii U.
Right, but nothing's been.
They haven't talked about it, but they confirmed they're working on it.
Yeah, but it's not in. It's obviously because we've seen Nintendo's lineup for this year, and it's not in there.
Yeah, no. It's not tentative yet, but it's probably going to come. I would say 2016.
One of the main reasons.
Because if I were Nintendo, what I would keep doing. You want to release quality titles that don't need patches.
Right.
Games that work. Games that are going to keep your core base happy. Games that are going to get enough hype to make other people come in and go, I want to try that out. Well, so then, when you're... Because obviously they've lost the third party for this system console, for this run. They've lost them. You're not going to see a whole lot of big name EA or Activision games coming out for this system. You're going to get your party games, your Just Dance or whatever. But, so they need to just... do what they do, get this system as many homes as they can, and here's what I would say, reduce the cost even more. Because I've actually seen a leaked picture, I'm not even sure if this is rumor or not, of a downsized gamepad. Because the gamepad, apparently, is half the price of that damn, or at least $100 of that console.
That makes sense.
I believe it.
And so
if they can get that price down, and then it would just be all gravy, then you can get that console out there, you can... do what kind of what PlayStation did, restore faith for the people who have, you know, because people were like, oh, PlayStation sucks. And they did that for so long during that last generation because people went over, it was too expensive. The games looked better for multi-plats on Xbox. So PlayStation focused on putting out good quality original content. They strengthened their PSN because people said they have so many problems with PSN. I've had very few problems with my PSN.
I'm the same way.
I mean,
well, up until recently.
Well, yes.
Yeah, that's a whole other topic.
Yeah, and we're about to get into that in just a second. But to close up on that, if they can focus on the next 2 years, because it's obvious, okay, they're not going to launch the Wii U in July, or the next Nintendo in July. They're going to do it around the holidays. That's when it seems like it's around the holidays or relative to.
Yeah.
It's typically when all that. So if it's going to be holiday 2016, focus really hard on the next 2 years, releasing good quality games. Obviously, they're going to try and create new IPs. They've got some, but in order to sell games and systems, you're going to stick to what has been selling.
Yeah, I mean, that's been one of my complaints about the Wii, really. Is that I've said that they, you know, Nintendo hasn't come out with a new IP that's lasted in so long.
Right.
I feel like they need to, but I understand that they're using their classic games to shoulder the load, really, and that's what's selling.
Because
that's who's buying the Nintendo systems, is the people that want those classic games, you know, Smash Bros.
And also, for families and children, there's more. I guess I don't want to say it, but it's true. It's safe.
Yes.
Because you're not going to get too many titles out there on the Wii U that are like Grand Theft Auto.
No. They don't go on things like that.
It's mostly safe, and then you get the most overly sexualized game there is in Bayonetta 2. So.
Right. But I mean,
it's almost safe.
But if they can make any more deals like that.
Yeah, no, that was smart. That was very smart.
If they can make any more deals like that, and there's so many things I want to see as a lover of retro games, I want to see a really good Sonic game, because Sonic Boom came out, and is for the first time, okay, throughout the history of Sonic, you have people saying, oh, that's actually not as bad. That's horrible. There's just people all around the map. Their favorite games are this.
Right.
Everyone is saying this game fucking blows. I want to see a good-ass Sonic game. I want to, and since you primarily only see him on Nintendo console stuff right now, that would be a great thing to have. Because that's such a classic, iconic character that who has survived its company.
Yes.
Pretty
yes.
much leaving the console world. And it's a character who you show it to somebody and they know who it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's iconic. He's definitely, I was a big Sega guy when I was growing up. You know, I love Sega. Dreamcast, one of my favorite systems of all time. And I was sad to see it go away because Sonic was really my favorite part of that. I love Sonic. And, I mean, if I have to play him on Nintendo, that'll break my heart a little bit. But I'm willing to do it if they came out with a good Sonic
game. A great Sonic game, yeah.
That's the thing. Is like they're not coming out with those big games, those big titles. I mean, like, you've withheld us from Zelda for 2 years.
Yeah.
Like,
there was a big Zelda game released this year. It was the HD remake of Wind Waker, which I'm okay with that. Yeah, I did too. And I'm okay with that because that was a game that came out on the GameCube two systems ago. Now, if they'd have come out and said Twilight Princess HD, it would have been like, eh, okay.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
We already saw, you know, two versions of that. But Wind Waker, come on, that's way back on the GameCube. So it gave it, you know, a new breath.
Well, then
a fresh look. Yeah.
They're 3DS. I mean, you can't even. There's not another handheld out there. I mean, the Vita is really, it's cool. It's great. It has some good games. But when you look,
Sony doesn't care about it.
Yeah, they're not focused on it.
No.
And Nintendo, they're just destroying everyone with it.
Oh yeah.
There's so many good games. You can almost walk through the store and just pick up a random title you don't know the name to, and you can play it, and it's almost great. Like Bravely Default.
Yes, Bravely Default.
Bravely Default. Like I was kind of like, and then you're like, oh yeah, it's like final. It's like supposed to be in the Final Fantasy X, but since PS2 came out, they went ahead and made a new Final Fantasy X. So I picked it up, and that's what it is.
I mean,
it's beautiful.
Now, what's funny is that, you know, as you said, they didn't they haven't created any new IPs that have really stuck. And they just released a new game. It's a new IP featuring a character from Super Mario Galaxy. And that's Captain Toad's Treasure Hunter.
It is a new IP, but it's an existing character.
It's
something new, man.
And it's a puzzle game. And it's cheap. And it's cheap, but apparently it's getting really high scores and selling well. And so, yeah. Okay. But will it stick? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, but you mentioned the Dreamcast. And I'm going to say the Wii U is going to end up being very similar to the Dreamcast as far as collecting. Yeah. It's already lasted longer than a Dreamcast did.
Really?
Yeah, the Dreamcast launched in 99 in North America and got discontinued in March of 01.
That's sad. That console's amazing.
It is.
That's sad.
It's fun. It's definitely.
But to finish off and round off my Wii U thing before we move on, if they can do that, get that into people's homes with good quality Nintendo games, by the time they release their new one, if they can get these third-party people back on and start to be... Because if they release a console, it has to be on par with or competitive with the other two. Because the other two have already been out and established. And you're releasing a new console during the middle of their life cycle... You're going to have to be able to say, hey, you can play your Call of Duties, your Grand Theft Autos, right here on the Wii U or on the new Nintendo system, the Wii 3.
The new Wii U.
The
Wii U 2. And then it could coincide with a classic and amazing band. I'd buy it simply on that. No, wow. You know what? Quickly before we get off the Wii U thing. You guys know this.
Yeah.
I don't like Nintendo. I have it for a good amount of time now. I grew up a Sega guy. Just never really been on the Nintendo bandwagon, with the exception of, you know, my Game Boy that was beloved. Coming up on the Christmas season, I was asking you, what should I buy for my siblings, you know? What's a good gift? And we were talking about it, and we came to the Wii U. I was like, you know, Smash Brothers is coming out, and that's a good thing. All my siblings could get together and play, and I was so excited. You know, I went out and I looked everywhere, and you actually found me that deal at Target.
Target, yeah.
And so I went out and bought the bundle for, what was it, $350, and it was Nintendo Land and...
Super Mario. 3D, whatever. 3D
something World. Or another.
Yeah.
And so I was so excited. I got that, and I picked up Smash Brothers, and, you know, I got it for my siblings, and Christmas morning comes along, and they're all excited, and they open it up, and, oh, you know, Wii U, this is so cool. I was like, all right, guys, well, you know, I'm going to hook it up to the TV, and we're going to play some Smash Brothers together, and it's going to be this great family moment. Except it never got to that, did it? No, because the stupid console was a brick. That's right. I bought a nice $350 Japanese brick. And I was furious.
Well, see, I remember that because it was around 11 o'clock in the morning. I had not gone to sleep yet. I had yet to sleep. And you're lighting me up going, what the fuck is going on with this thing? And I'm sleepily trying to troubleshoot, thinking, did you turn it off during the download? Because that can really mess it up.
It was broke. I mean, it was just broke out of the box. And I'm sorry. I wasn't even considering the time. Hey, I was working on like an hour of sleep.
You're lucky that I was even awake, because that day we had for some reason just stayed up a little bit later than usual. I was not yet asleep, and then once you sent that, I was like, I want to get this thing working, because it is something that can happen. I mean, of course, with every system, with every electronic, you're going to have a fail ratio,
right?
You know,
this happens.
But so, and I'm looking up, and every single discussion about their Wii U freezing is from the launch time.
Yeah, I noticed that too, and it was the exact same problem. Like, it was exactly as I described to you, but it was from the launch. I was like, they haven't fixed this in how many years now? Now, I will say this, is your suggestion was just to call Nintendo, and you said they were very helpful. And actually, they were. The Wii U is being sent in right now, and free of charge and everything. They're sending in. They're going to send us a new one. So I can't complain about that, but it was frustrating.
Yeah,
our Christmas gaming experience was ruined.
Yeah,
without the involvement of any hackers.
Oh yeah, I tell you what. So I discussed that on my last BrandoCast about the PSN and Xbox Live outage happening because of our good friends over at Lizard Squad, and you likened it to Mr. Rogers losing his cool.
Yeah, you know, you're a very even-tempered guy, and I work with you all the time, and you're always mellow and cheery. You scared the fuck out of me when I was listening to that podcast. I was sitting there, I was shivering, I was scared, you know? It was just not good. You know, it's like if you turned on Mr. Rogers, and he was just like, fuck this neighborhood. What the hell's going on, man?
Oh, dude, I was, okay... I actually, as I said in the podcast, I actually had like a long thought out thing that I wanted to say. And the more that I was trying to say it, the more I was just getting mad. And so it just came out as, fuck you. It's like I had a really good, you know, statement to say, and I couldn't think of the words. I was so flustered, so it just came out with the only two words that could actively and correctly describe my mindset. And, apparently, another one of these motherfuckers have come out and exposed their face and said, we did this.
If it's I don't understand what the point is. Hey, we're going to overload your system so you can't play your game to be okay.
As I mentioned on the podcast, they did this because they wanted to prove a point on how fragile their systems were.
Because you're not doing anything other than your
Well, because they were saying, you got all these subscribers that are paying and you can't handle this.
Okay, so they're doing it supposedly for us, the consumer, right? But then they go on the biggest fucking day and ruin all of our days?
Yeah.
No, they wanted notoriety. They wanted attention. Everybody wants to be a part of something big these days.
They're stroking their dicks.
Exactly.
It's stupid.
It was a fucking DDoS attack or whatever, you know? It wasn't even... Anonymous has come out and said, like, look, that was fucking Bush League. That's not a real fucking hacker.
Well, it's not even hard to pull off. I mean, all you have to do is set up a cycling rotation to continuously create new accounts.
Right.
And that's all they're doing is overloading it. So you're like, ooh, you know how to make more accounts rapidly. Like, that is doing nothing. You're not proving to us or to them that there is an issue with their system.
So apparently the FBI are now actively investigating Lizard Squad, probably due to the fact that Sony and Microsoft went, hey, this shit needs to stop. Now, Sony is compensating its users.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're really overcompensating, if you ask me. I mean, 5 whole days, guys. 5 whole days of free PSN.
We'll see, you know, because Xbox Live was down for 24 hours. And the PSN had intermittent outages for about 5 days, right?
I would say at least...
Intermittent, because...
For me, it seemed like forever, because I just got it back a couple days ago. In fact, I texted you during one of the podcasts.
Yeah.
I was like,
I've had mine back from 24 hours.
Okay, because I was able to log in, but not consistently. Not consistently, and there were still people saying, "It's it works in this section of the country. Everybody out in California cannot connect." You know, it was different sections of the country that were having problems connecting. But then, so you got the FBI investigating these guys, and you got these motherfuckers going on TV going, "Oh, we are in the hacker group." Okay.
What was that?
I'm not sure.
I'm trying. Okay, I was making fun and making light of Because the guy that was on television over, he was over in Britain. I don't know what country this guy's from. And quite frankly, I'm not the kind of guy to make fun of somebody's accent. Okay, I'm not. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We won't even get into it.
No, we won't.
We won't even get into it.
Okay.
Since it's both of us sitting here. Then
right.
Yeah.
We won't even get okay. into it.
Both.
Yeah, see, the both of you are not even in this. But I won't make fun of someone's accent to some person, somebody that I won't know. I won't disrespect them. Obviously, if you are my friend and we trade blows, that's a different story. Count that for recovery of the fucking year. So, okay. But that motherfucker, he's so fucking arrogant. And I mean, who knows? Maybe that guy doesn't even work for the damn.
No,
maybe
he could just be someone coming out, yeah.
Oh, look. You know, we did.
Trying to get fake.
He was saying that, like, it was only three guys that did this whole thing. And FBI, I really hope that they track these sons of bitches down. Because, as I said, they ruined. I mean, how many people do you think took their systems back going, well, this shit doesn't work?
There's got to be plenty. Because if you think about it, I mean, it probably wouldn't be people like us that bought it for ourselves.
Yeah.
Say like my dad. Well, you know, I got the kids that Wii U. But say I had gotten them a PS4 and they were having these problems and I wasn't there. They would probably just go and return that system. They wouldn't even realize that it was a hacker group or anything like that.
That they couldn't, yeah, for reason, yeah.
Me, when I first noticed that my PSN was down, you know, I was like, it's connecting the internet. I check my, you know, you go through, you troubleshoot, right. You check your Wi-Fi and all that.
It's just the PSN
and
that was.
And then you realize it's just the PSN, you know, you pull out your phone, oh, some douchebag, shut it
yeah,
down.
Yeah, yeah, see, you have to actively look into that for yourself. If you get, as you said, people who buy these for gifts for their kids who are not necessarily as savvy or have the you know the know-how to you know to think of that.
Right.
But then so they'll go, "Oh, well there must be something wrong with it. We got to take it back and maybe exchange it or."
Right.
Yeah. So we've gone over the time that I wanted to go for.
I think we knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, you know, Nate said it was okay. Nate said it was fine.
So are we going to discuss our last topic?
We will go ahead and just discuss our last topic. And from my last YouTube video that I just shot yesterday? Yeah. Friday. It's technically Sunday now. But I shot it and edited it and got it up. And I discussed my favorite games that I played in 2014. And necessarily wasn't all the games that came out in 2014. But I wanted, and so my list of those games probably going to differ from all the games that you all played. But I just kind of wanted to kind of discuss and compare the list a little bit because I know it's going to be different. So just think back to where you know all of 2014, the games that you played. They don't necessarily have to have been released in 2014.
Okay.
But just some of the best ones that come to mind right away is like, this game is fucking awesome.
See, my Mario Kart was mm-hmm. amazing. I bought a Wii U for Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. And then Bravely Default.
Yeah.
For the
3DS.
I love that game, absolutely. And then the Zelda, Link Between
Two Worlds. Worlds. Yeah, Link Between Worlds, yeah.
That brought me right back to, you know, being a huge Zelda fan, you go back to, they gave me...
Yeah,
what I want. I mean, it's exactly what you want, but they changed the aspect of it. It's not the same game as
well. Yeah, I mean,
from the past, but
yeah,
it
is linked to the past. It is what a pseudo sequel should do. It takes the existing game and adds an additional gameplay element to mess with the puzzles and make it to where when you're doing a puzzle, you have to think about it now in a different aspect.
And then for obviously, Dragon Age has been mm-hmm. our big hit for all of us.
Yeah, I can imagine that game being on.
I enjoyed Destiny up to a certain part.
Would you call it the best of the year, though?
No, not even close. And then I was big. I love The Last of Us. I actually didn't own a copy until the remaster. I stole yours for a good 40 hours, and I absolutely love that game as well. It's a phenomenal game.
So I got to ask this question because there's one more that I think probably could go on your list because I know you played the hell out of it. Final Fantasy 14.
No, well, I can't really do that because I played it in
13
when it first came out in The Realm Reborn. It was fun, but I got it for the PS4, obviously, because
so it wasn't much of a highlight for the PS4 then.
No,
for the 2015.
I'm a big MMO player. I mean, I was a World of Warcraft fan, and I still believe Nintendo needs to make one with the Nintendo characters.
Oh, okay, never mind. Because there is one in Japan. There's an MMO on the Wii U in Japan.
See, why is that not here?
It's probably overly Japanese.
It is Dragon Quest X.
See, Dragon Quest X. That's been a pretty solid hit here for a while.
Yeah, Dragon Quest is
Dragon Quest series.
For the RPG fans, you know, it's a good seller. It's probably not as high as, like, you know, your Western. Because Japanese RPGs have really kind of done this, you know, up and down kind of thing, where some titles are big, like the Final Fantasies, but even those have been kind of westernized a little bit. But yes,
mainly like I played Bravely Default for 98 hours almost straight. Like, I just couldn't put it down.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dragon Age, those are my two big games for 14. Like,
okay.
And I mean, I love Mario Kart, but you can only do so much Mario Kart. And right, it's like, okay, they got the new maps, haven't got that yet.
Yeah, I still haven't, and I want to, and it.
But definitely
heard nothing but great things. But okay, so Nick, how about you?
I'm going through, and I'm trying to think now. You know, I will say that Infamous, not a lot of people talk about it. It was good. It was a good game. I mean, it was beautiful, you know, and it was an Infamous game, but it was interesting. It used the functionality of the PS4 with the touchpad and all that.
Yeah.
I got to put it on there. It was a very enjoyable experience, given, you know, it doesn't stand up with some of the other ones from this year.
Yeah.
But it was enjoyable. I'll say the same Destiny. I played it, but it's just not up there. Obviously, Dragon Age, right? So Dragon Age is the number one.
Yeah.
Dragon Age, by far.
Oh, yeah.
Game of the year. I believe it already won the award and
deserved it. At the Game Awards, yeah, it won Game of the Year.
Far Cry. Far Cry is a lot of fun, and I know you guys have talked about it being the same game.
That's what I've heard. I actually don't know per se. I don't have first-hand experience with that. But
I will tell you from first-hand experience, it's the same fucking game. However, it's in the mountains, okay, and it has helicopters. So it's different to me. No, Far Cry 3 was amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Far Cry 4 expands on it. It is a load of fun. I've done co-op, and the co-op is just a blast. I mean, Christmas Eve, me and my sister stayed up all night, and we played the co-op, and it was just a blast. I mean, it is so much fun, and all the random encounters and the craziness and the chaotic gameplay of that game. It's just it's a load of fun. Yes, the story isn't all the way there. Yes, it is kind of a repeat, but it's just a lot of fun to play. And you know, some games don't even capture that anymore. You know, you got this great story, but just this loads of enjoyment that come with playing it. And yeah, I mean, Grand Theft Auto. It's the only remake I played this year. I would have liked to have played The Last of Us, but just never got around to getting it. But going first person in Grand Theft Auto is a whole new experience, and I absolutely do enjoy it.
So does that carry over to multiplayer as well?
Yes.
It does.
As far as story goes, the last mission I did was when you first unlock Michael, when you drive through the dealership. So okay. I'm not very far in the story, but I've been playing the online, and I don't ever come out of first person. I kind of feel like I'm at a disadvantage in some of the gameplay modes playing in first person, especially the races, but it's a lot of fun. The motorcycle riding just blows me away. It's wintertime, so I can't ride my bike. And so I get to, you know, ride a motorcycle by proxy almost. And he actually puts his helmet on, and you actually see through the helmet, and it's tinted.
That's neat.
It's tinted. Really? Yes, it's tinted. Also, as a motorcycle rider, which you are,
yes,
you know that you don't want a tinted visor at night.
No.
However, I bought a tinted visor in the game, and so when I'm riding at night, I hit a lot of things.
Can you not swap them out on the fly?
No.
So you have to go back to your helmet?
Yeah, I would have to go buy another helmet, and you could swap helmets out on the fly. You can hold down your menus and do it, but it's just, you know, whatever. But
well, I mean, that plays a big part in you doing multiplayer races, you get a night, you know, somebody's like, oh, you know, we'll put it on random themes, and you've got a tinted visor. And,
well, you know, hey, just like real life, you just take your helmet off and live dangerously.
I guess.
What a do. No,
all right, so that would be your list of some of your top games.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of anything else that I've played this year that would go on it, and I really can't. I'm trying to think if there's any indie games or anything that I played. There really isn't.
There's another one of mine. Don't Starve. Well, I guess that was last year, wasn't it? Don't Starve.
Oh, did that come out?
Don't Starve.
That was an indie game on the PS4, but I can't remember if that came out right before the new year or.
I'm not sure. See, I don't know. Because I was going to say Resogun, but Resogun was most definitely last November.
Well, see, I do have a couple of mine. My list is similar and different. Dragon Age is number one.
Yeah.
The games that came out in 2013 were Zelda Link Between Worlds, because that came out in December of 2013. And Batman Arkham Origins, because I didn't play that until July of this year.
Yeah.
And Beyond Two Souls.
Which?
That's the game.
That's the one that I conned you in the beginning. And you're like, oh, it's the collector's edition. I really want it when we were out retro gaming. And then I was like, you have to pick this up. I'm going to bug you until you buy it. And
I was approaching over budget. That's why. And so I did go over budget and buy it. But so those are the three from the previous year. But so going forward, Mario Kart is on the list. So is South Park Stick of Truth.
I totally forgot about that one. That was fun.
South Park Stick of Truth was amazing. Now, it's short, and it's like you're watching an extended episode of the show. But how cool is that? That, okay, when the show first came out and was relevant, they had some games that were that great. They just cashed in, right? But when they finally did a, all these years later, they finally did a game in kind of like homage to some of these, like, you know, of the old RPG style, and it plays kind of like Paper Mario, but they do it well. The graphics look just like the show. We've gotten to that point where they could just create the game and look just like the show. Granted, okay, the battle system looks, it's different, and they make fun of the battle system, because it's a turn-based, right? You make your move, then they do their moves, and if you wait too long, the other guy's like, come on, I gotta go home. I can't stay out this late.
Yeah.
Is it my turn or yours? It, you know, they make fun of it. And it's awesome because in my YouTube video, I mentioned that how often do we get games that are just comedy?
That's not that often, really.
You know, we have games that have comedic elements, but in a game where there's no reason why you need to take this game seriously. And that's the fun of it. You put it in, you have fun, and you laugh at every little thing.
Yeah.
And I was just overjoyed when I was playing that game. So I said Mario Kart. And was there another one in between? No, okay, there wasn't. I'm trying to remember my whole list now. I did say The Last of Us Remastered, because I totally replayed through that, sort of. I didn't actually get to the end, but I played enough of it to where it was awesome. My time with it was just as fun as it was the year before.
I actually was going to do the Ellie story back, the DLC, because I obviously didn't own it, so I didn't have it, and that's where I'm at. It's the beginning of the Ellie DLC.
Ellie DLC. Now, some of the other games, it's kind of surprising, because I had a couple of games that I didn't get to play that, based on their how much they're heralded, could be in contention. And that is Shadow of Mordor, which I own, haven't played it. And Bayonetta 2. Haven't played it.
I've played the Shadow of Mordor. The only reason why I'm going to muster through it is for the story, because I love Lord of the Rings.
It does interest me.
Now, see, I've heard they've taken like the Assassin's Creed style of gameplay and done something new with it. And did some new stuff with it. And that's why it's got me interested, because it's kind of funny how a non-Assassin's Creed game could possibly be the best Assassin's Creed game that came out in 2014. So I got those games. There was another one. And see, now I made the damn video, and I can't remember every single game that was on it. The NES Remix pack that I bought.
I remember you texting me about that right when you got it.
Okay, I bought that for the Wii U, and they were originally two separate downloadable titles, and they put them in one title. Basically, you play it's not just a collection of old NES games. They break it into like a WarioWare style of mini games, where it says, defeat 15 enemies as Invincible Mario as quick as you can. So you do it, and you get coins, and then you unlock more levels. You play through Donkey Kong, you play through Mario Brothers, you play through, you know, other styles. And then they throw things in there to make it different, like playing through Mario level as Samus. Playing through Donkey Kong with Link. So
that is actually really cool.
With Link aspects. So you don't get Donkey Kong aspects of
no,
Link.
No, it's not a reskin, it's the character.
Yeah. So yeah. That's brilliant. So, you know what I mean? When I was playing that, okay, when I buy these games, I don't always sit down and play them all the way to the end. I test them to make sure they work, you know, get a flavor for them. I couldn't put this game down because I love the old retro games. I love the Nintendo era stuff. And this is just perfect. And you can download it. You can get the, I would say physical copy. It's only $30.
Yeah.
And then you actually get, with the physical copy, you get the downloadable extra where you play Mario Brothers backwards. From right to left, and you play as Luigi.
That's awesome.
And then I haven't done this yet, but it says play through the Nintendo World Championships. Do you remember? Okay, back in the early 90s, they had the Nintendo World Championships, which those are some of the most expensive collectible carts they have for the NES.
Right.
Because the winners got to keep their carts, and it's got little scorekeepers on there. And you played through Super Mario Brothers, and you played through probably Donkey Kong or something. But you had to like keep tallying your score. It was a big tournament.
I remember I did that, and I totally lost because I was 5 years old playing DuckTale or Darkwing Duck, and I didn't want to just beat the first level.
That's awesome.
But so, yeah, you can apparently you can they have that on there, and you can replay it.
Huh. That's pretty cool.
And that's a neat little thing that I found about that.
What about the Mario? Well, it's not out yet, but...
Mario Maker.
The hell is Mario Maker?
Okay, you know what Little Big Planet is, where you make your own levels?
Okay, so it's...
But it's Mario, and you can do Mario 1, Mario 3, mm-hmm. Super Mario World, or into the new Super Mario Brothers. You can make the level look like... You can go back and forth by a click of a button, and it'll switch the textures and everything.
Now, which Mario do you play as? Do you choose? Do you choose what graphic, you know, what generation
you
Mario?
I don't know. That hasn't really...
You mean, can you swap the palettes?
For like, Mario, yes. So, like, if you're running through a level, and can you start a level, can you make one level that goes through every generation?
See, I'm not for certain of that, because they haven't revealed... But there are some things, which is interesting, because they have some things that are in Super Mario World and 3 that aren't in the original. So you think they have to have other variations, other builds of that for the original 8-bit.
Right.
So I don't know. So, but the cool thing about that is that now you can download user-created levels and create some pretty insane stuff. Like, so it's like some of those Little Big Planet levels are pretty crazy.
No, they're elaborate, and it really shows how creative some of the communities are. So, mm-hmm. I mean, if you can have that with Mario,
I mean,
if that's what you're into.
I mean, it's the most... it's the most classic example of a platformer. So I think it's, and it's perfect. And also one small tidbit, because you mentioned that the logo for Mario Maker mm-hmm. is in the same style of Mario Paint.
So you think they might throw a little bit of that?
Well, I think no. I'm not saying they're going to throw that in there, but the way it's laid out, it's very similar to Mario Paint.
Huh.
So they're like saying, wink.
Wink, yeah.
But, yeah.
On our games list for this year, I want to make a little honorable mention, side note here, for the greatest cock tease of all time, Metal Gear Ground Zeroes.
Yes.
I played the fuck out of that half-hour-long game.
Dude, I didn't even buy it. I borrowed it from Rob.
I bought it.
Did you buy it?
Yeah.
Did you sell it?
I have it, I downloaded it.
Oh, okay.
On the podcast. Hey. You want to sell that to me? I'll buy that off of you.
Okay, no. It was just a matter of, I could not justify it. Because they were pretty honest and open about what it was going forward.
Yeah.
Into it.
You knew it was just the prelogue or whatever. and prologue.
Prelogue.
New word. Coin it here.
Well, see, the funny thing is that it's about the same length as the damn tanker mission from MGS2.
It is.
If not a little shorter.
I had to buy it. I had to, Brandon. I had to. I love fucking Metal Gear. And I had to buy it. And I did. For, what was it, $30?
I think so. Maybe 40.
I think it was... I'm going to say it's $29.99.
Okay.
I played the hell out of that one goddamn mission. Did it every single way I could think of.
Well, they added some different stuff.
Well, now it was the same... Okay, so I shouldn't say one mission, but the same base.
Yeah, the same one base.
The same one base that wasn't really all that huge.
Now, the funny thing about that whole thing is because I borrowed it from Rob. And this was my first experience with Mr. Kiefer Sutherland as Snake. And immediately I'm like, he's not even trying to sound like Snake. Which why would he? He's not trying to be Snake. He's trying to be Kiefer Sutherland being Snake.
He's good, right? So he's good. Let's get that out of the way. Kiefer Sutherland's a good actor. We know he's going to do good with the character. He's not fucking David Hayter.
No, he's not. But, okay, you know, and I have my own thoughts about how they told David Hayter about his... subsequent release of that role, saying we don't need you anymore. They didn't even tell him. He had to call them.
I'm not sure yet. Okay, I'm a hopeful.
You are holding out for the fact that they're changing on the voice actor.
David Hayter still in the game. Greg Fox still alive.
Never gonna happen.
Say it here. I'm never gonna give up. 20 years from now, I'll be saying the same thing. Okay. Never giving up, damn it.
You are holding out for that hope that Gray Fox appears and is actually Decoy Octopus.
Yes. Yes. Every character, we've been through this, every character in the game is actually Decoy Octopus.
It is.
But did we mention about something about the hospital? In the hospital, like the dude...
Ishmael. So the original, if you remember, they were going through... With the original trailer, it was supposed to be through White Whale Studios or whatever.
It was called Phantom Pain.
The Phantom Pain, and it was very clearly a Metal Gear game. Like they snuck it past me the first time I watched the trailer. I was like, this is cool. And I was like, wait a minute, that's Metal Gear. And so there's a few things, you know, I've been going nuts and watching all the different fan theories. And first off, there are two. Kiefer Sutherland, he has two credits, and he is credited for Ishmael, which is the guy that is seen in bandages helping him out of the hospital. And so there's a few different theories that maybe you're not playing as Big Boss at all. Maybe you're actually playing as a Decoy Octopus. Some people even say Gray Fox. I don't think it's Gray Fox. The timeline doesn't match up for it to be Gray Fox just because of his age. He wouldn't be as old as Big Boss would
no.
be. I still say he's in the game.
He very well likely. Dude, they're coming for you.
They are. They realize that I've snuck over here illegally.
Oh. I wasn't going to go there.
Oh.
They've saw through the act. They know that I speak perfectly fine Spanish. They're coming for me.
Yeah, right.
Olivia ratted me out.
Oh.
No.
Way inside jokes there, but... We'll run with it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's funny because all three of us had very separate... of course, we all have different likes. And I'm kind of surprised that you didn't... Well, okay, maybe I am not surprised that you didn't include a single driving game in that list.
Let's not talk about that. So... you could have just started a very long tangent, but I'm going to sum this up quick. I'm going to buy an Xbox One this year. I'm going to buy it very soon, actually.
Have you made that decision?
I have. Either tax return or bonus time. I got it. I need a Forza game. I haven't made this decision. Because Project Cars, I still have hope. But I also had hope in Drive Club. And I also had hope in The Crew. And neither of those really panned out.
You know,
still
yeah.
Still holding out for... Gran Turismo 6?
No.
For the PS4.
They're already making 7.
I know it is.
No. Polyphony can go fuck themselves.
Oh.
They ruined a beloved franchise for me. I used to be all over... Maybe they didn't ruin it. maybe turn 10 just showed me the light. Forza is so much better, and I know you guys... Well, Mike, you're a car guy, but...
Yeah.
Have you played the Forza games?
I have played all of them.
They are vastly
other
better.
Other than
5.
Yeah.
They are so much better. I mean, what they let you do with the car and the level of detail they go into, and, you know, when they go through and they put these cars on a dyno, and they put microphones all around the car, in the car, all over the place, and they get that true sound.
Yeah.
And as you mod the car, they actually change the sound of the car as well. Mm-hmm. So if you swap out the exhaust, now it's got a throatier, deeper, louder tone. That's amazing. As a car guy, that's amazing for me. And, you know, I'm coming off of that, and I go into Gran Turismo, and they're still using fucking generic car sounds. It's like, fuck you. I'm not going to stand for that shit. The Japanese... They don't know a damn thing about cars. I'm saying it here. That's a lie.
This is coming from that's an absolute Japan lie. Who made the RX-7.
This is coming from the guy who owns pretty much all Japanese cars. I own a Japanese motorcycle. I work at a Japanese car company. Some of my favorite cars are Japanese. They know how to make them. They don't know how to play games with them. That's an American thing.
America. Okay, you know what? I have hope. Nick, you may have lost hope. Mike, I don't know where you stand with hope.
Hope in what? What are we hoping on?
I'm hoping that all the games this year will be complete. I'm hoping that we will have less games, because we have a big list of games, and I'm hoping at least two-thirds of them don't suck.
Oh god, I hope the order doesn't suck, because I'm really looking forward to order. I've watched a lot of trailers on it, and
I'm hoping
it's my era. I mean, they've taken our technology now and retrofitted it back into that era, and it looks cool because they're walking around. They got this big old cell phones, and they got like the rail gun. It's like this big, you know, it's huge. But you gotta. That's something. I don't know. I'm very. Please don't screw that up. And then the Batman game.
See, again, I have hope. I have hope that all the games that I really want to play are going to be good. I have hope that we're going to see, you know, that these companies are going to learn from these big mess-ups from the last month and a half and be okay. I have hopes that you two will come back on the show and do this again, because it's been a lot of fun. We've gotten way over time with... my outline.
No, we knew that was never going to happen.
Yeah, we already knew that coming into it.
Guys, Naughty Dog is coming out with a game this year. That's all that matters. They won't fuck it up. Even though I just jinxed the whole corporation.
God, but you gotta do that.
I jinxed everything. We will now not see one good game this year.
From someone?
However, from anyone.
Okay, yeah, you had to cover that up, because...
Uncharted has to be good. I don't fucking care about the order. I mean, if it's good, I'll be all over it, and I'll probably be beating the drum. But I'm not excited for it. Any of the other games, I've lost faith. You're absolutely right. I've lost all hope.
One thing with the order, though, that I think it's going to really hurt them: no multiplayer. Now, for me and Brandon, we love that. I mean, I would rather them stick to a story. Just give me a story and do it very, very, very well. Screw the multiplayer.
I'm going to say this right now. Hope is all we need. Yeah. Hope makes the world go round. Hope will keep the PSN and Xbox Live
working.
Hope will make a certain future Wii U functional. And hope will close this podcast on hope.
Cancer doesn't believe in hope.
But we don't care about cancer.
I hope. I want to thank you guys for coming on the podcast and hanging out with me.
Thank you for letting us come on, man.
Yes.
It's been a lot of fun.
Anytime.
We'll have to do this again and have another long, tangent-ridden conversation about video games.
Yes.
So, guys, thank you for checking out this episode. I want to thank Nate for letting me have a kind of an extended cast here. I hope that he can do the same thing and get something going and have a longer extended conversation with some of his contacts going on. I'm not sure what's going on with Nate's world all the time. Me and him, you know, it's not like we're connected at the hip or anything, but, you know,
If you're listening to this podcast, please go check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and our YouTube channel, where at least I make videos. Nate hasn't made any yet.
Man, you're just slamming the poor guy.
You're right.
You know what? I love the guy, though. He gave me an awesome Christmas gift. So, yeah, guys, go check us out on all the other Journey into Comics oriented social media accounts.
Longest outro ever.
Ever.